Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, our Lord Jesus talks about joy in heaven and on earth when lost sinners repent. Everyone here has lost something of value. Everyone here has yourself been lost. Think of the things that you've lost. You can't find your car keys or your house keys, and you're looking everywhere for them. In this day and age, it's a minor crisis if you lose your cell phone, and you're looking everywhere for your cell phone. Some of us have lost our wallet and our purse and our credit cards and our driver's license and frantically look for them. I heard of people losing their wedding ring and having to look everywhere to find it. Perhaps something happened in your life and you lost an heirloom that you had received from your grandparents, which gave you great sorrow. But perhaps you did find what you were looking for, and we always share our joy with others. We're happy that we found our car keys, and we tell our wife and everyone around, "I found my keys. I found my cell phone." We rejoice when we find things that are lost. The flip side of that is there's been times that every one of us have been lost ourselves. Maybe when you were a child, you were lost by your parents in the shopping mall, and they couldn't find you. Maybe you were out on a hike, which happened to my sister one time when we were on a vacation, and she got lost in the woods and didn't know where the rest of the family was. If you're driving through a strange town and you have no GPS connection and you have no idea where you are, you have to ask someone for directions and you say, "I'm lost." How much more do we sometimes feel lost in life? We feel no direction. We feel like God is far away from us. And we feel lost and aimless. In the Bible, the picture of someone who is lost is someone who doesn't know God, doesn't know Christ, has no direction for their life, does not repent, and has no faith in Christ. And they are aimlessly walking through life trying to find some meaning, and they can't find it. Well, you know what is most worth rejoicing about? Because if God the Father rejoices over one sinner who repents, if the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents, so should we. The church on earth and the church in heaven rejoice in the presence of the angels of God along with all the saints in Christ Jesus when one sinner repents and when the lost are found. So today, as we rejoice with angels in heaven and saints on earth, we first consider how Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. That is, he eats with us. Secondly, in rejoicing that the one lost sheep is found, we are the ones that have been found. And rejoicing in the one silver coin that is found, we are the coin that is found. So we begin. Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. The tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Jesus, but the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled against him, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Jesus welcomes sinners. That's you and me. Pastor Matt Harrison, the president of the Missouri Synod, preached on this one time. And basically said, if everyone here is righteous in yourself, you can all leave. This place right here is only for sinners. And if you're in a sinner, if you are a sinner, you're in the right place. Because Jesus came for sinners. Now, the tax collectors and the sinners, the tax collectors were considered cheats because they were hired by the Romans to collect the tax among their Jewish friends. But they would overcharge their Jewish friends, give the money to the Romans that was owed them, and they would keep the rest. And so the people hated them and considered them cheaters. They often became very wealthy. The sinners were those considered the low life of society, who'd done things of which they are ashamed. They weren't particularly religious, but they were known in the community as sinners and kind of lowlifes. They are the ones who draw near to Jesus. They are the ones Jesus receives and eats with. The Pharisees and the scribes were the religious leaders of the people. The Pharisees prided themselves into keeping every jot and tittle of all these many Jewish regulations and traditions. The scribes were the ones who were copying the scriptures, and so they were the resident experts. But because they were filled with their own righteousness, they grumble against Jesus. They don't receive Jesus. They oppose Jesus. You know, I can't think of anything more beautiful than the insult that they gave Jesus. This man receives sinners and eats with them. You know what? If he receives sinners and eats with them, then he eats with me and he eats with you, because we are those sinners. This man receives sinners. Can anything be more beautiful than that? Jesus shares our flesh and blood, but he's without sin. Yet he receives us willingly. He desires to take our sin upon himself and give his righteousness to us. He gladly receives sinners like you and me, and he even eats with them. To eat with someone is to share fellowship, table fellowship, and hospitality. Heaven and on earth meet here at the Lord's table. This is where Jesus eats with us, right here, and gives his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Praise the Lord that Jesus eats with sinners and receives them, because that means he receives you and me. Indeed, St. Paul said it well. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Now, if there ever was a sinner in the world's way of looking at things, it was St. Paul, who used to be called Saul. Saul is speaking autobiographically today in the epistle lesson. Saul is not kidding when he said, "I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent. I was ignorant, in unbelief, and the foremost of sinners." Paul is using hyperbole, certainly, but he was the chief of sinners. He had killed and imprisoned Christians. And it wasn't until the Lord Jesus struck him with blindness on the road to Damascus and converted Saul into Paul. And now Paul was used to bring the gospel to all the nations. And in fact, almost half of the New Testament comes from the pen of St. Paul. "Christ our Lord," Paul said, "showed me mercy and grace, overflowing faith and love, and turned Paul into the apostle to the Jews and Gentiles who went through the whole Roman world, all the way to Italy, all the way to Spain with the gospel." If Christ came into the world to save sinners like that, then he also came to save sinners like you and me. Therefore, for good reason, we begin the divine service with a confession of our sins, of thought, word, and deed, that we do deserve punishment temporally and eternally. And then we hear the word of absolution, that the Lord Jesus Christ, based on his merits, says to you, "I forgive you all of your sins." Rejoice when you come to the Lord's table today that Jesus continues to welcome sinners and eats with them. And you know, every time we receive the Lord's Supper here, we are doing so looking forward to the eternal feast and the kingdom above, the wedding banquet and feast that knows no end. This is a foretaste of being in heaven. We're around the throne of God, and at the great wedding banquet and feast, we will eat with Jesus and share fellowship with him forever. Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. Jesus welcomes you and me. And then Jesus gives this picture of what it means to be found after you've been lost, rejoicing in the one sheep that is found. Jesus tells the parable of a shepherd who has 100 sheep, and he loses one, and he leaves the 99 in the open country until he goes and finds the one. Jesus, of course, is the good shepherd. The sheep are those all through the world who are hearing the gospel. The 99 in the open country are those people who feel they're already righteous, who feel, I don't really need Jesus, I'm doing just fine, thank you. But the lost one knows that he's lost. He's wandered off. He's made a lot of mistakes and a lot of things of which he's ashamed. But the Lord searches until he finds him, lays him on his shoulders, rejoicing, and comes home and calls his friends and neighbors, rejoice with me. I have found my sheep that was lost. The word shepherd is the same word as pastor. So Jesus is the good pastor. And of course, I am a pastor, your shepherd. Years ago, someone made a shepherd's staff for me out of a piece of oak, about 5 feet high, very strong piece of wood. It's got a shepherd's crook on the top of it. When a shepherd has that shepherd's crook and staff, he uses it, first of all, to drive the wolves and the wild animals away and strikes them. He uses it as a staff as he's walking down the paths and through the mountains. But the crook at the end had a purpose. For when a little lamb or a sheep got stuck down in the rocks or the crags, you take that crook and you grab it around its body and you pull it out. You yank it out from where it's been stuck. That shepherd's crook is what has saved you. Through Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, he has caught you. He has pulled you out of those rocks and those crags by laying his very life down for you, protecting you, saving you. And there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who don't think they need any repentance. Now, Jesus is being pretty clear here that one sinner who repents is the tax collectors and sinners. The 99 who think they're righteous are the religious people, the Pharisees and the scribes, who don't think they even need Jesus. There isn't anyone who is righteous and doesn't need repentance. Everyone needs repentance. Everyone needs the righteousness that only Christ can give. We are that one sheep that was found. In the beautiful words in the Old Testament lesson today in Ezekiel, the Lord God is sending his Son as our shepherd of the royal line of David, the shepherd and the prince among us. It is our Lord Jesus Christ himself, God in the person, through the person of his Son, searched for you. He sought you when you were scattered. He rescues you on cloudy days of darkness. He brings us from all the nations. He's going to lead you and me to the mountains and the pastures, the green pastures, and the clean springs of water of heaven. He binds you up when you're injured. He strengthens you when you are weak. He rescues you from prey, that is, the roaring lion who wants to devour you. And on that last day, as he makes the distinction between the sheep and his right, the goats on the left, when the good shepherd is on his throne, we will be the sheep on the right, his baptized believers. Blessed are the Father, come inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We are the lost sheep that were found. We are the sinners with whom Jesus eats. And then lastly, we are the silver coin that was found. Jesus concludes by talking about a woman who loses one silver coin and searches till she finds it. Jesus is the one, of course, who is the one who finds us the lost coin. Like this woman, Perhaps he had actually seen his mother Mary lose a coin on the floor of their house, and she swept until she found it. In Jesus' day, most of enterprise was done by barter. I give you a chicken, you give me a loaf of bread. I watch your sheep, you fix my door frame. Most people didn't have much money. This is probably her whole life savings, 10 silver coins. You better believe if you lose one-tenth of it, you're going to look for it. And she lights a lamp, sweeps the house, and seeks diligently till she finds it. And of course, her reaction is just like the shepherd. She finds the coin, she goes and tells her neighbors, she tells her friends, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." Such Jesus' joy is before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. You know, we are called to rejoice when anyone is found. If the angels rejoice, we rejoice. We carry each other's burdens and sorrows. And when we gather around this table, we gather with the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven, rejoicing that we sinners have been found in Christ. Because indeed, we are the lost coin that has been found. Like St. Paul, we have received mercy. Jesus Christ has displayed his perfect patience for you. Look at your life. Has God been patient with you? You bet. He's had to be patient with you all of your life. But we who believe in him for eternal life know the one who is patient with us is the King of all ages, the immortal, invisible, only wise God. To him be honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And St. Paul said, Amen. We're the lost coin that has been found. We're the lost sheep that has been found. And we're the ones with whom Jesus eats. So my friends, no matter what you're dealing with right now, rejoice that through the means of grace, through preaching and teaching and baptism and absolution and Holy Communion, we have been welcomed by Jesus. Through the death and resurrection of Christ, we have been declared righteous in the sight of God, and we sinners are now declared saints through his sacrifice for us on the cross. Saved by grace through faith, we have our righteousness in Christ, not in ourselves. We are the lost sheep that have been found, and now God desires to use you to find sheep and coins that were lost. Through your daily vocation and life, the Lord will do that. And open up your eyes to see those opportunities. That is why we're asking as many as can to come to the Everyone His Witness workshop on Saturday to learn how you, in your vocation and calling at work, in your own neighborhood, can be used by God so lost people can be found by Jesus Christ. Please attend if you are able, as we desire to do that in this congregation. We know who God is. We know who we are. Though our conscience might accuse us, God is greater than our conscience. For Christ is our righteousness and covers our sin. Repent of your sins. Have faith in Christ. Receive the mercy of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and rejoice with the angels and the archangels as we come to the Lord's table, that he continues to use us so the lost can be found in Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.